manifest in him. Verse 4 then says, I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day, that night cometh when no man can work. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. When he had thus spoken, he spat on the ground and made clay of the spittle, and he anointed the eyes of the blind man with the clay. And he said unto him, go wash in the pool of Siloam, which is by interpretation sent. He went his way therefore and washed and came seeing. Amen. And the title of this message is a little bit strange, but you'll get it near the end. Blind spot, thou art the man. So I want you to pray with me that God will give me the words, his words, that will encourage, that will edify, that will bless. Amen. So if you could just bow your hearts with me. Father, we just thank you that you are in this sanctuary. Lord God, you said where two or three are gathered in your name, you would be there. Hallelujah. We believe you are here today to bless, to speak to us, to encourage. Hallelujah. Oh God, to show us your way. We thank you for all that you're doing, Lord, and we give you all of the praise and the glory in Jesus' name. Let's give him a hand clap of praise. Amen. Amen. You may be seated in Jesus' name. Amen. So the title of my message is Blind Spot. And then I thought about adding a little bit more to it. So I said, thou art the man. And you're going to have to bear with me for the rest of this. So in this story, Jesus and his disciples come across a man that was blind from his birth. He had never seen the sky. He's never seen clouds. He's never even seen his own parents. In fact, he has never even seen his own face. Now, that may be strange, but there actually are a lot of creatures that when they're born blind. Puppies, dogs are born blind, and it takes 10 days, 2 weeks sometimes for the eyes to open. And there are many other creatures. Cats are also born blind, and it takes 10 days to 14 days for the eyes to open. Rabbits, hamsters, seals, and quite a few birds are born blind. Owls, eagles, parrots. But human babies, if they're healthy, are always born with their eyes seeing. But they don't have the full vision of an adult. They say most babies can only see between 8 to 12 inches. That's all they need to see, where the food's coming from. But their eyes, if you notice, can't fix for any long time on once, but they tend to wander because they're still uncoordinated. After about 1 to 2 months, they can start to follow moving objects, and you can pass something in front of them and they'll start to follow it. And it takes about 6 to 12 months before they get to the stage where they're almost got an adult vision where they can see and focus long distance. But yet, with each and every one of us, there is a blind spot. In fact, there is a blind spot in each of your eyes. Now you may say, well, how can that be? I don't see it. Well, that's why it's called a blind spot. If you could see it, it wouldn't be a blind spot. But nonetheless, it's there. It's the part at the back of your eye where the optic nerve goes back into your brain, and there can't be any cells there to receive light. So that's that part of your eye is blind. And it's a little bit towards the side. Now, you can do tests. Don't do it now. You can get a piece of paper, and you can put a dot on the left side and a cross on the right side, and you can hold it out at hand's distance. And if you start looking with one eye shut on the cross and you bring it towards you, you'll find that the dot will disappear. Because that's your blind spot. But the brain is so clever, so deceptive, and because the two blind spots are in different places, it will take the information from one eye and paste it into the other eye. So that's why you can't see it. Because the brain will deceive you so that you can't tell that you actually have a blind spot. That we all have a blind spot. Every single one of us have got two blind spots where there could be a place where something could be, and we can't see it. Now, this man in this story didn't just have a blind spot, he was totally blind. And he was not even blind like, you know, at an age where he could remember seeing stuff. He was blind from birth. Jesus made it clear, though, that it wasn't because of some sin, it wasn't because of something his parents did, that he was blind from birth. This blindness was the work of the devil. How do we know it was the work of the devil? Well, 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 4 tells us that the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them that would not believe. He doesn't just blind physically, but he can blind spiritually. So when you talk to someone, oh, they say, that's just foolishness. There is no God. That's because the devil has given them a blind spot. Not just a physical blind spot, but a spiritual blind spot where they can't even see the truth that nothing times nobody makes no sense. That's what the world says. Nothing times nobody equals everything we see. See, the God of this world will give people a blind spot. He'll do more than that. If he can get to it, he'll blind them completely. This is what Jesus came to destroy. In John chapter 9 and verse 3, Jesus answered, said, neither hath this man sinned nor his parents, but that the works of God should be made manifest. God came, Jesus came to destroy the works of the devil. He came to destroy blind spots. He came to give you perfect sight. That's why in verse 4 he starts to talk about being the light. You know what light does? It shines into darkness. Light dispels darkness. Light is what gives you the ability to see. Without light, you've got a big blind spot. So Jesus said in verse 4, I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day. The night cometh when no man can work. He was giving a hint as to why he came and why this man was blind, because this was the devil. He came to destroy the works of the devil. In 1 John chapter 3 and verse 8, he says, he that committeth sin is of the devil, for the devil sinneth from the beginning. For this purpose was the Son of God manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. He came to destroy your blind spot. Whether it's a spiritual blind spot, because we all have them. There are areas of our lives where we don't see clearly. We think we see, but actually it's a blind spot. And just like spiritual, physical blind spots, all of us have a spiritual blind spot. And you're going to say, but Pastor, I can see totally well. I'm fine. See, that's the problem. That's the problem when we claim we have no blind spots. In John chapter 9 and verse 40, I said I was going to be reading a lot. The Pharisees told Jesus, hey, we can see perfectly good. Are you talking about me? You're talking about him. And some of the Pharisees which were with him heard these words and said unto him, are we blind? Are you talking about me? Are you saying I'm blind? Verse 41, Jesus said unto them, if you were blind, you would have no sin. But now you say we see, therefore your sin remaineth. You see, we can claim that we are perfect or we don't have any problems or no issues, but that's when for sure we got a blind spot. For sure, that's when we're not seeing ourselves clearly. Because I'm telling you, God made us, each one of us, with two blind spots. But the brain is so clever, it's so deceptive, that it will paste this eye's blind spot and cover the other one, and so you don't even realize it. See, some of our blind spots are just being critical. You know that? We can be critical of others. In Matthew chapter 7 and verse 3, here's a blind spot. And why beholdest the mote that is in thy brother's eyes, but considerest not the big piece of wood sticking out of yours? Or how wilt thou say to thy brother, let me pull out the little grit that's in your eyes, and behold the big 2x4 that's sticking out of mine? Thou hypocrite, first cast out the beam out of thine own eye, then shalt thou see clearly. See, a lot of times we're too worried about other people and their problems and what they're doing wrong when we got a big old beam and causing a blind spot in our own eye. It's so easy to forget that we have blind spots. The great King David had a blind spot. In fact, he had a blind spot that a lot of us men have. He had a big old blind spot. You know what it's called? Lust. It started with just accidentally seeing a naked woman having a bath. The human brain is so clever. I wonder how he thought it out. It ended up with him committing adultery and then murder. See what a blind spot can do? It can have you starting out really small. He didn't plan that day to do anything. He just went up on his roof. But he had a blind spot. And the devil will come up in your blind spot and cause an accident. The human brain is so clever. I wonder how David rationalized it to himself. Well, he probably said, well, I'm the king. God has blessed me. I have the right to have any woman I want. Now, forget the fact she's married. He somehow rationalized that away. Well, he had a chance. He should have come and been with his wife. I gave him every opportunity. And then he went out. I didn't kill him. Yes, I did tell the general to put him right at the front of the army, but I didn't kill him. I wonder how David's mind worked. You see, the brain will deceive you and tell you you're doing okay. Just as it does with the physical blind spot, it covers it up. David didn't even realize, can you believe it? He didn't even think that he had done something wrong. That's how bad a blind spot can be. The human brain can cover up our mistakes and rationalize them and tell them, you're doing okay. You're just doing fine. And it puts it in a box and shuts it and puts it away. You know what the greatest deception is? Self-deception. It's not when somebody else fools us, but it's when we deceive ourselves. Blind spots are really bad. 2 Samuel chapter 12, verse 1. I want to read you this story here. And the Lord sent Nathan unto David, and he came unto him and said unto him, start to tell him a little story. There were two men in one city, the one rich and the other poor. The rich man had exceeding many flocks and herds, but the poor man, just one little ewe lamb, which he had brought up and nourished, and it grew up together with him and with his children. It did eat of his own meat and drank of his own cup and lay in his bosom and was unto him as a daughter. See, Nathan is setting him up here. Nathan is exposing his blind spot. And in the story, he says a traveler came to the rich man. And so the rich man decided to throw a feast. But instead of taking from his own flock, he went and took the one little ewe lamb that belonged to the poor man. Now, verse 5 proves to me that David had a blind spot. When he heard this story, he got all angry and upset. And David's anger was greatly kindled against the man. And he said to Nathan, as the Lord liveth, that man that hath done this thing shall surely die. And he shall restore the lamb fourfold because he did this thing, because he had no pity. 2 Samuel 12, 7. And here's the other part of my title. And Nathan said to David, thou art the man. Thou art the man. See, when we have a blind spot, we think it's everybody else. It's somebody else did it. It wasn't me. It wasn't me. But Nathan said to him, thou art the man. You're the one with the blind spot, David. You're the one who's messed up. Can't you see that you've done murder? You've done adultery? No, he didn't see it. He got so angry at the story, he pronounced judgment upon himself. But this wasn't confined just to the Old Testament. Even in the New Testament, we can see the great apostle Peter, he had a blind spot. He had a blind spot. In Galatians chapter 2 and verse 11, Paul had to rebuke Peter. Peter came when they were with the Gentiles and he was fine, just having good time with them. But when Peter was come to Antioch, I withstood him to his face because he was to be blamed. For before that certain came from James, he did eat with the Gentiles. As long as there were no Jews around, he was fine eating with the Gentiles. But when they came, he withdrew himself, fearing those which are of the circumcision. He couldn't see that was wrong. Paul had to rebuke him, the great apostle Peter. You see, no matter how big we think we are or how deep we think we've gone in Christ, we got to watch out for the blind spot. Because somebody may have to come and tell us, thou art the man, thou art the woman. Because we all have a blind spot. And we have to guard against that. You see, we think we don't have too many of the blind spots. But you know, we can just be self-righteous. You know, I pray 3 times a day. I fast 3 times a week. I come to church. I don't miss a service. And subconsciously, we're looking down on other people. Some have a blind spot of prejudice, black and white. Some may have a blind spot of education. Well, I've got 3 degrees, piled higher and deeper. Some may have a blind spot of talent. Well, I can teach better than anyone. I can preach better than anyone. I can sing or I can do this. You see, we don't realize we have a blind spot. Some people got a blind spot of jealousy. They don't even know it. But they're looking at you funny. Why he got that car? He gets a car every year. Some have a blind spot of bitterness that they've nurtured, they've fed it. They've gone to their little corner and talked up to themselves and got themselves all worked up, all bitter. Man, they in here walking around like they didn't do nothing to me. See, we can easily have blind spots. You know what you do when you start to have eye problems? You better go to Dr. Jesus. See, when you go to the ophthalmologist, one of the things they do is they sit you down that tree and they say, put your head against this thing, and then they shine a light into your eye. You know what they're trying to do? They're trying to see if that eye is alive. If that eye is working properly, it's going to move. It's going to change. When Jesus shines his light into your life, you better move. You better change. Or else you may be blind. See, he's looking for that eye to what they call dilate. They'll spray some stuff in there. They'll test for pressure. They do all kinds of tests to make sure that your eye is working properly. If Jesus is working on you, he's going to bring some tests into your life to make sure that your blind spot is not going to take over your life. See, we think these are little things, you know, well, I'm this, I'm that, I'm a little bit better than you. That's a blind spot. We don't even realize that we have these things in our lives, and it comes out in our actions, in our relationships. We better go to Dr. Jesus and have him shine his light into our lives. He's got to do some spiritual work to make sure that that eye will move, that it's alive, that it's not dead. Because it's a dead eye that does not react. In fact, that's how they tell if you're unconscious. They open your eye and they shine a light in there. And if it don't move, then you're in trouble. You're in bad trouble. The first step in curing your blind spot is recognizing you have one. You know, there's some cars that have some terrible blind spots. You put the mirror and you still can't see everywhere around you. You know what you do? This is what my daughter did. I drove her car last week and I noticed her car has a terrible blind spot. So what she did, she bought another mirror. Little round one. You know those mirrors? And she stuck it on her mirror so she could see the blind spot. See, Jesus came to cure blindness. He came to cure our blind spot. In Luke chapter 4, verse 18, as he started his ministry, he made this his mission statement. He said, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he hath anointed me to preach the good news to the poor. He hath sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and the recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised." Probably the thing that we, if we were going to lose something, the thing we would hate to lose most of all would be our sight. We'd probably, if you had to choose a sense to lose, maybe your taste, maybe. Of course, it'd be horrible eating steaks and stuff, but, you know, if we had to lose something, the sight would probably be the last thing we would want to lose. You see, when you have a blind spot in your car, you know what you do? You put a mirror there. When you have a spiritual blind spot, you need to put a mirror there. In the New Testament, we find that there are 5 miracles of healing blindness that Jesus called out. It's interesting that number 5, there's a lot more that he healed, but there's only 5 that are explicitly brought out. Matthew 9:27, don't put this up. Matthew 12:22, Mark 10, the healing of blind Bartimaeus. Mark 8:22, the healing of the blind man at Bethsaida. 5 times. You know what that number means? God's grace. God's grace. He has come to move your blind spot, to show you the truth so that something doesn't sneak up in your blind spot and take you out. See, you got to put a mirror, and that mirror is God's word. James was talking about that. In James 1:25, he explains that when we have the mirror of God's word put in our blind spot, we can see. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. What he's talking about, if you look into God's word, that's his mirror. That will show you what's coming up in your blind spot, so you won't be taken by surprise, that you won't be taken unawares. You got to put the mirror of God's word. That's what I'm doing today. I'm letting you know that we all have some blind spots. You need to go to God's word to let that mirror shine so you can see there's a car coming. Before you start changing lanes, you better check your mirror. Before you start making choices in life, you better check God's word. Better start praying. Better let his light shine on your pathway. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet. But you better have the mirror of God so you can check your blind spot. See that God will always be the light in a dark place. That's what he has come to do, to set the captive free. His mission statement was, he said he came to bring light and healing to the blind. I need him to come into my blind spot. I need his word to show me areas in my life where I'm not really looking, where I'm not paying attention, because that's where Satan's going to creep up on me. See, we have to be aware of the blind spots. Amen. I'm not long-winded. You can stand. Nathan came to David and showed him his blind spot. Thou art the man. He got all mad and angry. Let's get this dude. Who would dare do such a wicked and terrible thing? Nathan held up a mirror. Thou art the man. But one thing was so great was God's grace. David was able to repent and ask God for mercy. And God was merciful. God, probably of the miracles in the New Testament, probably the majority of them was opening blinded eyes. Five times it is recorded. One time he healed two blind men at one time. One time that man was blind, mute, and demon-possessed. One time it was just blind Bartimaeus calling out, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy upon me. See, the problem is a lot of us will deny that we have any blind spots. Then we're just like the Pharisees. Jesus said, it's because you think you see, that's really why you're blind. Because you don't even know. You don't even know that you have this blind spot. The brain is so deceptive. As the Bible put it, the heart is deceitful. It'll make us think we can see everything. We know what we're doing. We have no problem making choices. But until you change lanes, you better check your mirror. You know, most of the accidents happen when people do lane changes without checking their mirror. They don't know what's coming up on them. God tells us that his word is his mirror. It's like a glass and we can see ourselves more perfectly. We don't want to be like David and have Nathan come and tell us story. Tell us a story about what we did. And he still couldn't see. You'd think he would have caught on, I know where this is going. Okay. I know. No, he didn't know. He said, he got all angry. Okay, let's go get this guy. Thou art the man. Thou art the woman. God allowed us to be born with a blind spot. And in the physical, the brain, as I said, is so deceitful or clever, whichever way you want to put it, that you won't know it. But it's there. They can test for it. You can test for it. In the spiritual, it's the same way. There are blind spots where there are things about us that we don't even realize. That's why we got to put the mirror of God's word and humble ourselves. I think one of the greatest things I think about the 12 disciples is when Jesus said, one of you will betray me, and I've said this before, you know what they all said? Is it I? They didn't say, it didn't say, it's him. They all said, is it I? You know why? It could have been. They all had elements. We all have elements that could betray him. And when we deny it, we're being like the Pharisees. And I'm not going to preach this message twice. Thou art the man. Thou art the man. We have to be humble and ask God to take care of our blind spot, to put a mirror of his word where we can't see clearly. That's what he wants. That was the difference between David and Saul. Saul also had a blind spot, but it never ever got fixed. He thought because he was looked like a king, head and shoulders, you know, he was the tallest, he was the handsomest. The Bible said he looked like a king. He had the physique, and then he thought he was also the priest. Had a blind spot. Decided he wouldn't wait for the priest. He was going to do the priest's job. And when Samuel came, he says, what have you done? He says, well, I couldn't wait anymore. And instead of humbling himself, he said, look, let's just keep it between me and you. Just go before the people and pretend nothing happened. And then God intervened. Saddest story in the whole Bible is the story of King Saul, whose blind spot turned into what was an eternal death sentence. When God said to Samuel, don't even bother praying for that guy. I have rejected him. Now, when God rejects you, that's it. There is no other place to turn to. This is what happens when you let a blind spot fester. When you let the blind spot make decisions for you. I'm closing. This altar is open. We all need to have God's mirror. We all need his light shining into our lives. And we all need to react to it if we're alive. Our spiritual pupils need to move, to change direction. Because he will bring some tests if you go to him to change your blind spot, to heal your blindness, to let you see clearly from his word what he wants you to do. David truly repented. And he wrote that beautiful psalm, Psalm 51. Create in me a clean heart and renew a right spirit within. He knew that he had seriously gone off the trail. He did some terrible things. But just like in the New Testament, when anyone who was blind called out, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy upon me. He never failed to come to their help. Even the man who was born blind from birth, he had no concept of what even sight was. But Jesus said he came to destroy the works of the devil. The blindness is the work of the devil. And Jesus said, I am the light of the world. Light destroys darkness. This altar is open. I'm closing. But we need to make sure that we're not that man. That Nathan, the prophet, says, thou art the man. And we need to react like David, not like Saul. We need to humble ourselves. We don't need to be like the Pharisees and say, are you calling me blind? You talking to me? Yes. Jesus said, because you say you can see, that's why you're so blind. That's why you're like blind guides leading other people into a ditch. That's what happens when you're blind. When you lose your sight, you crash. You can't see. But Jesus came to set the captive free and to restore sight to the blind. Hallelujah. Father, Lord Jesus, oh God, everyone under the sound of my voice, Lord Jesus. Lord, we all have blind spots, Lord. We submit it to you today, oh God. Let your glorious light shine into our eyes of our spirit, Lord, into our soul, Lord God. Help us to change direction. Help us to cry out in for mercy, Lord God, that you will restore sight, Lord God, that your mirror of your word will direct us, will align us with your will, Lord God, that you will come into our lives even in a more powerful way. We humble ourselves today before you. We cry out, Lord Jesus, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy. Lord, let your mercy be upon everyone who is here today, Lord God. Let your grace, Lord Jesus, as you heal those in the New Testament, heal us today. Lord, let your word go forth right now as a mirror. Lord, show us, Lord God, the direction that we need to go, the changes we need to make. Lord God, we cry out right now, Jesus. Hallelujah. We thank you right now for your love and your grace and your mercy above all. Hallelujah. Church, you just keep praying. You call out right now. You be like David. Hallelujah. You repent if you need to. You cry out aloud. Don't be like Saul.